The Tabernacle of Korah is the title of today's exhortation, taken from Numbers chapter 16 and verses 23 to 34. We see here, as Matthew Henry rightly pointed out, the controversy with Dathan and Abiram, together with Korah, who rebelled against Moses. And you see that they have set up a spacious tabernacle in the tents, in the midst of the tents of their families, where they kept caught, met in council, hung their flag in defiance against Moses. It is called the Tabernacle of Korah. So they needed another place. The tabernacle was supposed to be the place of God's abode amongst his people. But they sought to build themselves a tabernacle for themselves. Wow, what audacity. And here, in this place of rendezvous, this, as Matthew Henry put it, Dathan and Abiram stayed when Korah and his friends went up to the tabernacle of the Lord, waiting the issue of their trial. Well, what they do is this: they came out and they went up to the door of the tents, and it was a public show of defiance. And so public warning is given to the congregation to withdraw immediately from the tents of the rebels. Verse 24 of our text: Moses spake fast, "Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And Moses rose up and went unto them, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he said unto the congregation, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of this wicked man, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins." So here you see Moses came up and made a point of contention against these rebels. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken by a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Here you see Moses was speaking to a group that was very stubborn. Matthew Henry says, "Most stubborn for their good." But God does not leave out the rebellious. For indeed, all sinners in their lost estate deserved the way back. And here you would see how our Lord Jesus himself also in his ministry on earth reached out to the rebellious and the gainsaying people. And so the 70 elders of Israel attend Moses and his guard to secure him from the mob and their presence, to put an honor upon him. And here you see proclamation is made, and you see these men were described as living in tents of wickedness. Why was the term so severe? Because they were setting up a kingdom that would ultimately perish with eternal destruction. In Revelation 18 verse 4, the Spirit called out a voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her." What was that? Well, from the Babylon, the rebellion that has taken place against the people of God. "My people, ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues." So here we are seeing the end day, end time, one world system. This one world system, when it comes out, well, it will challenge you to the core. And if you understand this, then the call from God to His people is to come out, be not partakers of her sins. In other words, there will be in the last days the promise of great prosperity, the promise of life, long life, right? All your diseases can be treated, all your organs can be changed and transplanted. You are better than you are, and you can live long and very long. So the promise of life, the promise of prosperity. But here is the kingdom of darkness that is speaking, and the Lord, it is totally opposed to God and his kingdom. And so here there is that contention, right? And Matthew Henry says, "In vain do we pray, gather not our souls with sinners, if we save not ourselves from the untoward generation. God's people are called out of Babylon, lest they share both in her sins and in her plagues." Not just the contamination of their ways, but also the judgment. The judgment that would come as a result of their continuing wantonly in their ways. And here the congregation takes the warning. But the rebels, Matthew Henry says, verse 27, continue obstinate. Verse 27 says, "And so they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of the tents, their wives, sons, and their little children." God, in mercy, inclined the people to forsake the rebels. They got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And you see here, Moses must have prayed for God's mercy to preserve the people of God, to help them that they may be able to see the right from the wrong, the error, so that God may give by His mercy them repentance, and that they may be recovered from the snare of the devil. And so here, grace to separate from evildoers is one of the things that accompany salvation. You see, one who knows God, right, God will also warn you of the dangers. Right? So before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent two angels to go into Sodom and Gomorrah in order to bring the family of Lot. God's grace was upon them. Although they were so reluctant, their souls were so vexed, and yet they were so adamant to stay and reap still the benefits that was soon going to be totally obliterated, destroyed. So we have an illusion in our hearts and minds for the things of this world that ultimately will disappoint us. and the Lord wants us to see clearly, so that our treasure will be not on earth. Our sights may not be on the temporal, the physical, but on the spiritual and the eternal. God in justice left the rebels to the obstinacy and hardness of their own hearts. Though they saw themselves abandoned by all their neighbors and set up as a mark of the arrows to the arrows of God's justice, Matthew Henry says, yet instead of falling down and humbling themselves before God and Moses, owning their crime and begging pardon, instead of fleeing and dispersing themselves to seek for shelter in the crowd, they imprudently stood in the doors of their tent as if they would outface God himself and dare him to his worst. Dare God! How frightening! Fast were their hearts hardened to their own destruction, and they were fearless when their case was most fearful. Right? Their situation was most fearful. We know that in a moment's time, the earth would crumble beneath them. How frightening! And yet, how is it that they could be so blinded to their danger? So, Jonathan Edwards, he gives the picture of the sinner hanging on a thread, and that thread holds the sinner, and he looks down and he sees the lake of fire burning, hellfire, and the precariousness of the soul in that moment of danger. Do we see? Can we see? So here we say some sentence is solemnly pronounced upon them by Moses in the name of the Lord. And the decision of the controversy is put upon the execution of the sentence by God Almighty. God himself is going to judge our thought there, by an unparalleled judgment. And so here we see, if the rebels die a common death, he will be content to be called and counted an impostor. But only if they die a natural death. But if they die of any sort of judgment that has formally been executed on their malefactors, if they die by the plague or by the fire from heaven or by the sword, then God has disowned Moses. Well, if the old earth opened and swallowed them up. In other words, you see, when the judgment came, it was a judgment that was pronounced beforehand by Moses. Moses said to them that this indeed will be the judgment. Verse 29 of our text says, if this man died the common death of all men, or if they visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing and open the earth, let the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, and all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that this man hath provoked the Lord. So Moses made it very clear. God has told him how the judgment will come, and execution is immediately done. It appeared God and his servant Moses understood one another very well. For as soon as ever Moses had spoken the word, God did the work. Verse 31 of our text tells us, and it came to pass that as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. The judgment came. It was a new thing, and it came so swiftly that the earth pronounced indeed the judgment. And it is very terrible to the sinners to go down alive into their own graves, to be dead and buried in an instant, to go down, Matthew Henry says, thus to the bars of the pit, when they were full of strength, wholly at ease and quiet. Right? They think that they are all right. They think that they are in charge, in control of their destiny, of their life. But the judgment came so severely. The great terror of the judgment, of divine wrath, and the cleaving of the earth, it is observed here, was wonderful. It is above the power of nature, right? The earth doesn't suddenly crumble, but it did. And how it closed upon itself, right? And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, verse 32 says, and all the men that pertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, and they went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. They said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So when that came, the justice of God, let us realize and be very sober. Moses said in the psalm that he wrote in Psalm 90, who knows the power of thine anger? Who knows the power of thine anger? Strange punishments for the workers of iniquity. Who shall be able to stand before this holy Lord God? Who shall be able to stand? And therefore, the question is asked to us, who is on the Lord's side? Here they set their mouths against the heavens, their throat with an open sepulchre. Justly, therefore, does the earth open her mouth upon them and swallow them up. They made a rent in the congregation. Justly, therefore, is the earth rent under them. They were presumptuous sinners. They hate to be reformed. Just like the man, you remember, that went to pick up sticks on the Sabbath day, and the Lord said that he is to be stoned. Why? Because it was a day that God has appointed for all the people of God to rest. It was the Sabbath of the Lord. And God has appointed it so that the people may find the needful quiet and renewal of strength in him. But there is that man who decided that he knew better, so he went to pick up sticks. And what did God do? God commanded the congregation of Israel to stone. As we see here, all who would be willing to come to him to repent, there is a way out. Psalm 62, the psalmist says, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproaches thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O God, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. Out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. All Israel is alarmed at the judgment. They fled at the cry of them. Here you see the psalmist's prayer. Is this that the Lord would deliver his people, those who stand on the Lord's side. You may be in deep mire, but you see the Lord's deliverance will surely come. But if we are not standing on the Lord's side, then we are standing on precarious ground, because the ground can fall through below us. All Israel is alarmed at the judgment. They fled at the cry of them, verse 34 says. They cried for help when it was too late. They are doleful shrieks. Instead of fetching their neighbors in to their relief, drove them so much the further away, further off. For knowing their own guilt and one another's, they hastened one another, saying, lest the earth swallow us up again. And so, as you observe, we study scriptures, right? The ruin of others should be our warnings. Could we by faith hear the outcries of those that have gone down to the bottomless pit? We should give more diligence, Matthew Henry says, than we do to escape for our lives, lest we also come into that condemnation. So here is given to us a warning that indeed it is good to walk with God and to follow Him and to obey Him and to find our ground, a solid rock, a solid foundation for our faith. Let us realize that we are on slippery ground, building on sand. When we build upon our own wisdom, upon our own pride, upon our own but here you see God wants us to understand a better life, the kingdom of God, the place of His reign, the place of His care, the place of His presence. That's the better place. And imagine living in a world that is created by God Himself, and yet shouting and being unhappy after receiving all the good on the earth that they stand on, that their God has made. A ridiculous proposition, isn't it? A ridiculous proposition. And yet it is so much a part of this world. So let us realize that time is short. Time may be no more. Let us take heed and choose to follow and obey and walk with the Lord. for our own comfort, for our own peace, for our own blessings. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit. Bless Thy word to the strengthening of the hearts of Thy people. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.